4 minutes after 8, welcome to Morning Magazine for Wednesday, February 2nd. I am Rosana Longobetter, in for Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up after headlines, Boulder's City Council convened yesterday night and security topped the agenda. Boulder Beat's Shea Castle will provide an overview. We will have a report on the incident that prompted a shelter-in-place order on University Hill yesterday and led to the evacuation of the area's elementary school. As always, on Wednesday, we will have Chris Moore's commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then, herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC update is at 8:30, and then we will kick off a special programming for Black History Month with a podcast from Virginia Humanities. Then, at 9:30, we will be in the Boulder studio for a morning of sound alternative to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music until noon. All still ahead, all made possible by listeners, members of KGNU. We begin with news headlines. Here is Jamie Sadler.
As the metro area continues to get hit with a major winter storm this morning, almost all schools and many government offices are closed today. Schools in the following districts are closed: Boulder Valley, Denver, Aurora, Cherry Creek, Douglas County, Adams Five Star, Mapleton, Jefferson County, and Westminster. The St. Vrain Valley School District will conduct a shortened online learning day. Fort Collins schools are closed, as is Colorado State University. All in-person and live remote classes at the University of Colorado Boulder are canceled. However, remote classes and exams are not affected. The Auraria campus in Denver is closed. Courts in Boulder, the 20th Judicial District, are closed today, as are those in Denver, Fort Collins, Adams, Broomfield, and Jefferson counties. The courts in Arapahoe and Douglas counties will open at 10 this morning. 4 Boulder County coronavirus testing sites are closed, including Stasio Ballfields, the county fairgrounds in Longmont, Centaurus High School in Lafayette, and testing at the St. Vrain Innovation Center in Longmont. A winter weather advisory is posted for much of the Front Range through midnight, including Boulder, Fort Collins, and the western metro area. Police in Boulder arrested a man yesterday who is accused of threatening mass shootings at a university in Southern California. The arrest came after police evacuated schools and issued a shelter-in-place order for residents in the vicinity of 900 Broadway in Boulder. Officials at the University of California, Los Angeles, notified Boulder police on Monday night that a former lecturer had allegedly sent an email with threats against individuals in the philosophy department there. The suspect surrendered to police at about 11 yesterday morning, and according to Boulder District Attorney Michael Doherty, he's facing state charges. We'll have more on this story after headlines. At yesterday's Boulder City Council meeting, members discussed a proposal by the police department to join the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. The agreement would facilitate sharing of information from the FBI to the Boulder Department. The council moved the matter to a public hearing instead of considering it on the consent agenda, and we'll have more on that council meeting after headlines. Authorities in Boulder County may soon select a contractor to clean up the remnants of homes destroyed in the Marshall Fire in December. The Denver Post reports that the efforts will take months and cost tens of millions of dollars. The cleanup issue is critical for those who want to rebuild homes they lost. No one can proceed until their sites are cleared of hazardous waste and debris. Only a few companies in the country qualify to conduct these types of jobs. Bids from potential contractors are due on Tuesday, and the county has said it hopes to award the contract in the second week of this month. The same firm will oversee the process in Louisville, Superior, and as well as in unincorporated Boulder County. People who have registered their homes for the county's debris removal should not pay for their lots to be cleared. First, the county will collect insurance payments from their companies, then ask FEMA for 3/4 of those expenses, with the county and the state being responsible for the remaining costs. Those who still want to take part in the county's cleanup program have until February 8th to fill out forms, and those who don't do so will be responsible for their own sites. Today is the deadline for applications to the State Department of Labor and Employment for assistance for those who lost their jobs because of the Marshall Fire. The Colorado legislature is considering a bill that will increase wildfire mitigation. If passed, the measure would create a working group of federal, state, and local fire and public safety officials. The Associated Press reports that the group would increase education and wildfire awareness and create a yearly campaign for mitigation in urban areas that connect to wildlands. State lawmakers are also considering increasing funding for local volunteer fire departments and allowing tax credits for those who do their own fire mitigation. Another proposed measure would require fire disaster insurance and casualty coverage. Lawmakers have said they will use this session to address issues raised after the Marshall Fire in Boulder County, which caused more than $500 million of damage. Included are efforts to address affordable housing and urban fire mitigation. Hundreds of teachers and employees in the Douglas County School District are planning not to go to work on Thursday to protest recent actions by the school board. The Denver Post reports that educators and other workers are protesting against efforts by some members of the Board of Education who are trying to force out Superintendent Corey Wise. Additionally, according to the president of the Douglas County Federation, the teachers' union, the protest also targets the decision to change the district's equity policy, which tasks the district with fixing inequitable practices and creating an advisory committee. It was passed almost a year ago and attracted concerns from some who worried it would lead to the county's schools teaching critical race theory. The head of the teachers' union did not know how many of the district's employees will participate in the protest, but told the newspaper that he has heard more than 900 people have requested substitutes for Thursday. The winter storm warning remains in effect until midnight tonight, including Boulder, Fort Collins, and the western metro area. Snow will continue today with a daytime accumulation of up to 3 inches and the high temperature in Boulder of only about 14, 21 in Denver, and 17 in Fort Collins. Tonight, the chance of snow is about 40%, mainly before 9 p.m., with the low about one below zero in Boulder, 4 below in Denver, and negative 7 in Fort Collins. Tomorrow, fog early, then sunny, with highs in the low 20s. Right now, it's about 10 degrees along the Front Range. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
You are listening to the Morning Magazine on KGNU. Boulder City Council had a long agenda on Tuesday night, but the biggest item was the agreement between the FBI and Boulder Police Department. Boulder's beat, Shea Castle, join us live for an update. Welcome, Shea.
Good morning.
Last night's City Council meeting came just after a serious security incident on the Hill. How much did that incident influence the discussion at the City Council meeting?
Well, it's hard to say what was in the mind of the City Council members. It certainly got mentioned. You know, several of them thanked Marist Chief Harold for her response, and the chief herself made a point to say that, you know, without cooperation with the FBI, that would have been not a different outcome, but it would have taken longer, or she wouldn't have had the resources that she needed to locate the man, which, you know, happened without incident. No one was hurt. So it definitely, I think, weighed pretty heavily, and it was fresh in people's minds. And it just kind of brought home for people, I think, some of the threats that this community is facing. It's not an academic exercise, but how much that played into their decision, you know, it's really hard to say.
What is this Joint Terrorism Task Force? Does this agreement between the FBI and police department raise concerns in the community?
Yes, many concerns are raised in the community and among a minority of council members as well. The final vote was 6-3, so that tells you, you know, how many people had some concerns. But as we saw from the public hearing last night, which 20-some community members attended, you know, the FBI has a very long history of harm to certain communities, you know, people of color, particularly, you know, civil rights leaders. It was, as many pointed out, it was the first day of Black History Month, and we started the meeting reading a declaration for that. The FBI had some very problematic history with, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. and the leader of the Black Panther Party, and even more recently, adding, you know, Black extremists to their list of terrorist groups. They have a history of targeting environmental activists and you know, peaceful protesters. As one speaker said, it's typically folks who are advocating for progressive causes that end up being surveilled. Post 9/11, there was huge surveillance of Muslim Americans and, you know, anti-war protesters. So the concerns that the community has are also not academic. There is a long and very well documented history of the FBI and the federal government surveilling citizens, infringing on their civil rights. And they were concerned that, you know, Boulder philosophically would be participating in this, and that also not so philosophically might end up using the city's resources to do some of this federal work.
Any other actions or items of interest at last night's meeting?
That was the main one. There were a couple historic landmarks which were interesting, only because it kind of goes into some of this same conversation. A former building and loan building, the Atrium Building, which is now a government building, was landmarked. And as Councilwoman Nicole Spear brought up, you know, did this building and loan participate in discriminatory lending practices, which were very common to the banking industry in the mid-century? And the answer was probably, we really don't know. So they might find a way to incorporate that into the landmark. So it goes again to, you know, what the city is doing with its racial equity plan, and when that plan counts and when it doesn't, and how much we are doing that might still contribute or, you know, honor in quotes, racial discrimination in some way.
Thanks as always, Shay, for joining us on the Morning Magazine this morning. And for those that would like to read something about the Rotten Freddy, especially today, February the 2nd, that is supposed to be coming out and showing us if the spring is coming, go to Boulder Beat and read. It was a beautiful read. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
The Boulder Valley School District has canceled classes at all of its schools today due to the inclement weather. The cancellations come as many students, teachers, parents, and staff at University Hill Elementary needed a break to process an incident that happened in the neighborhood yesterday. Shannon Yon has more.
Investigators are going through an 800-page manifesto allegedly sent by a man behind an hours-long standoff on University Hill Tuesday. Boulder Police Chief Maris Harold said the suspect made explicit threats of violence in the document, linked from an email sent Monday, January 31st.
We identified thousands of references to violence, stating things such as killing, death, murder, shootings, bombs, schoolyard massacre in Boulder, and phrases like burn and attack Boulder outside of the university.
Chief Harold said the Boulder Regional SWAT was activated Tuesday morning and set up a perimeter outside of the suspect's location. This coincided with morning drop-off at University Hill Elementary School on 16th and Broadway. Pediatrician Dr. Honora Burnett had just left her son at school and witnessed something out of the ordinary.
They like rang a whistle and then everyone ran into the school really quickly. And I thought maybe it was just happening because it was cold. But then when we were walking home, we got a text message that they were on lockdown.
The text message went out to all UniHill parents advising that the school had been placed on a, quote, secure lockout. Boulder Valley School District Chief Communications Officer Randy Barber explains what that means.
Our doors are locked on the outside. We make sure that students and staff are brought inside, and typically learning then continues as normal throughout the day.
Within less than an hour, officials decided to evacuate the school, and an automated voice message went out to the cell phones of UniHill parents.
BBSD has implemented an evacuation of University Hill Elementary due to police activity. According to the Boulder Police Department, there is a barricaded individual in the neighborhood near the school who has made threats towards University Hill Elementary previously. As a precautionary measure, we are in the process of evacuating students and relocating them to a reunification point away from the school.
Shortly thereafter, residents at dozens of homes on the Hill were advised to shelter in place. The standoff lasted until around midday. Boulder Police Chief Maris Harold identified the suspect responsible for the threats as 31-year-old Matthew Christopher Harris and confirmed a prior encounter with him.
We have had contact with this male suspect approximately in October. We're still reviewing our reports from that incident.
The Associated Press reports Harris is a former philosophy instructor at the University of California, Los Angeles. Police Chief Harold said while the investigation extends beyond Colorado, the manifesto contained specific references to Boulder University and schoolyard settings. Harold emphasized that collaboration at the federal, state, and local levels was critical to the rapid response in the incident. The suspect had attempted to purchase a firearm in Jefferson County in November, but was denied due to past behavior, according to Boulder District Attorney Michael Doherty.
Based on a protection order that was issued in the state of California, there was a national database that included a provision that he was not allowed to purchase or possess a firearm. Based on that, we believe at this point, and again, it's early in the investigation, that that was the basis for the denial when he attempted to purchase the firearm in early November.
No injuries or casualties resulted from Tuesday morning standoff on the Hill. The evacuation from Uni Hill Elementary appeared to be a logistically smooth operation involving dozens of calm BVSD staff. BVSD Communications Chief Randy Barber said it was the result of extensive training and planning.
All of our leadership and our staff know, you know, what to do during an emergency. And so when we activated the evacuation, immediately one of the conversations is with our bus drivers. They were just finishing their morning routes. And so we were able to divert them over to the school, prepare the students and load them onto buses. And, you know, within a relatively short amount of time, you know, they were transported safely from the school to the BVSD Education Center.
While relieved to pick up her son, University Hill parent Dr. Honora Burnett had mixed feelings about witnessing the process.
I think there's two sides of it. I'm so happy that it's going so smoothly, and it also makes me so sad that they've had to put so much thought into how to evacuate students safely.
For now, today's snow day is providing many with a needed pause with which to reflect on an uncomfortably close brush with what could have been a very dangerous situation. With help from Alexis Kenyon and Rosanna Longobetter, I'm Shannon Young for KGNU.
We go now to Chris Moore's weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them...
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. 77-year-old jailed American Indian Movement leader Leonard Peltier came down with COVID-19 a few days ago. He's a diabetic with high blood pressure who begged for a COVID booster vaccine and was denied. Convicted of two counts of murder of FBI agents 44 years ago, the witnesses all said that they were forced to testify against him. James Reynolds, one of the key federal prosecutors who sent Peltier off to life in prison in 1977, has written to President Biden and says Peltier is innocent. The judge who heard the case now advocates for clemency. Amnesty International, the Pope, the Dalai Lama, Jesse Jackson, Senator Patrick Leahy are actively calling for his release. Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, and Bishop Desmond Tutu have also pleaded with the U.S. government to release him. The calls for Peltier's clemency have continued to grow. Senator Brian Schatz, the head of the Senate committee who oversees the Bureau of Indian Affairs, has also demanded Peltier be given his freedom. Numerous House Democrats have also written to Biden. I am good friends with a Native American ex-con whose cell was very near Peltier's for over 2 years. He tells me Peltier is a quiet man who sits in his cell painting and selling his artwork all over the world. My friend told me that his guards would sometimes confiscate his paintings or mess up his art supplies. One day, my friend, Peltier, and a few hundred other inmates at Leavenworth were watching The Silence of the Lambs together when a riot broke out and the inmates took over the entire facility. Peltier told his Native American friends not to fight because they would just hurt or kill them if they did. My friend followed Peltier's advice, and he was still hogtied and thrown in a tiny cell with seven other guys for 6 days after that. But as far as I know, the Native Americans all came out of that riot alive, thanks to Peltier's peacekeeping efforts. Peltier has been under a microscope from his supporters as well as his detractors. His supporters have saved his life because a small army of lawyers is watching over him. Other Native Americans keep watch over him in the prison day and night. On the other hand, for decades, the FBI has tried to get dirt on Peltier, and other inmates have tried to get reduced sentences in exchange for information they can use against him. No doubt his lawyers are telling him to keep very quiet. The prison even tried to keep one of Peltier's lawyers away from him when he developed a personal relationship with her. My friend tells me Peltier gets piles of letters every day from all over the world, and the guards wish they wouldn't have to deal with him at all. Peltier's situation is dire. His health is not good, and now that he has COVID because he was denied a much-needed booster shot while locked up in that petri dish we call Leavenworth Prison. If you have thoughts on Leonard Peltier and the new push to get him released, you can soon and quickly contact Senator Brian Schatz, the head of the Senate committee who oversees the Bureau of Indian Affairs, President Joe Biden, Secretary of the Interior Deb Haaland, Attorney General Merrick Garland, and your own congressperson and senators. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
Time now for Naturally with herbalist Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. So, have you been stressed? Well, you know, when things are stressful, it's important to take better care of yourself. So I'm just encouraging you that all those health practices that you know already so well is really important. And that means eating healthfully. I consider oats to be a great food for stress. And things that are high in calcium, like green leafy vegetables and lettuce. But the enemies of stress are going to be caffeine and sugar. So if you eat those, including black tea, by the way, black tea tends to make people more anxious. However, green tea can give you more focus and also promote calmness. So when things are stressful, it can be overwhelming. While we can always clean, that's a great stress relieving activity. We can wear calming colors like blue. A really great instantaneous technique to help alleviate stress. Well, of course, deep breathing is great, but to take 5 deep inhalations from each nostril of essential oil of lavender, it goes to your brain immediately and helps you to feel relaxed. If you don't like lavender, there's a few other essential oils, but you know, that's a really good one. Not too expensive, and our nasal cavities are so close to our brain, so when we smell something good like that, it has an effect almost immediately. So we can also count on all kinds of herbs that can help calm our nervous systems. I think of chamomile, catnip. I don't recommend this one as a tea, but valerian root tincture can also be really helpful. And you know, kava kava, an herb that's native to the tropics, is good for anxiety and tension. And I already mentioned eating oats, but oat straw, which is the grassy portion of the plant, is also super nourishing to the nervous system. Okay, so deep breathing, do some things that you really enjoy. You know, do something to help someone else. Slow down things like you're eating, you're talking, you're driving, you're walking. Get up earlier so you have some time for self-care, getting outdoors in full spectrum light, and exercise, of course, are great. And play calming music. I love rock and roll too, but not so great when we're already feeling stressed. Write down all of your problems and brainstorm some possible solutions. There just might be some. And then get rid of clutter in your life. That just adds to the confusion. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
that's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I have been your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. A special thanks to Jamie Sattler, Shay Castle, Alexis Kenyon, Shannon Young, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions for today's program. Stay tuned for a public affair, but first, these headlines from the BBC.